إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ولله الحمد، الله عز وجل has allowed us to come together on another day in the month, the blessed month of Ramadan, to benefit one another in our religion. And that which we're going to discuss in this particular gathering pertains to the ayat that were read last night in Tarawih. And walillah alhamd, we know that Ramadan is the month of the Quran. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala said, the month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed as a guidance to the people, and a clarity, and a criteria. So the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned that Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed, then this indeed informs us that it is a month that the believer should have should spend a great portion of his time in reflecting over the verses of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I recall in my studies with some of the ulama, one of those ulama that I was able to benefit from was Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Muhammad bin Saleh Al Uthaymeen. And Sheikh Uthaymeen, his gatherings of Ramadan were very unique because he lived in the area of Qasim, which is about an 8-hour drive from Mecca. But in the month of Ramadan, Sheikh Uthaymeen would come to Mecca and he would stay in Mecca for the full month of Ramadan, and he would give two lessons a day. One lesson after Salat al-Fajr, and one lesson after Salat al-Isha, or the night prayer. And the lesson after Salat al-Fajr would always be in Tafsir. He would always give the Fajr lesson in the month of Ramadan. For well over 20 years, he would always give it in Tafsir. Whatever surah that the Imam recited for Salat al-Fajr, Sheikh Uthaymeen would sit down after the Salat and he would give us the tafsir of those verses that were recited. And that allowed us to reflect over what was being read in the Salat. And I believe we can all admit to the fact that, for example, yesterday, the brother, Abdurrahman, his name is Abdurrahman, the one that was reciting yesterday, when Abdurrahman was reciting, we all try to, you know, focus on the prayer and have khushu', but the fact that there was a lack of understanding of the language of Allah Azza wa Jal, it did not reach the level that it could reach. And I'm sure that once we sat down and we discussed some of the verses that were being recited, then we realized a lot more from the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. We realized a lot more from the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal because the meaning was brought to us. We were able to understand what was being said when we went over the tafsir. We should understand, and before going into the tafsir, and he read from the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah, and he went into Surah Al-An'am. We're going to read, inshallah, from those verses, and we're going to expound on some of those verses, because, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the Qur'an is a cure. The Qur'an is mercy. The Qur'an is guidance. We should understand this affair of the Qur'an, ya ikhwan. My brothers and my sisters, we should understand the affair of the Qur'an. Allah Ta'ala says, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ لِتُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. It is a book that we have sent down to you, Muhammad, to guide the people from darkness to light. So the Qur'an it's a guidance. It takes the people from darkness to light. That which you want to know of khair in this life and in the next is present in the Qur'an. And that's why Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ. That's why Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily this Qur'an guides to that which is best. This Qur'an guides to that which is best. Now the reality, before we continue to mention some of the merits of the Qur'an, the reality is, you had one of the statements of the Salaf, and I can't recall at this time who that individual was, but his statement is haqq. And he said, you want to know your position with Allah, then look at your position with His book. If you want to know your position with Allah, then look at your position with His book. If you are the type of individual who has a love of the Qur'an, and you read the Qur'an, you reflect over the Qur'an, a day or two goes by and you don't read the Qur'an, you feel it within your chest, then that's a good sign. But if 2 months go by, 3 months go by, 6 months go by, and you are not reading the book of Allah, and you don't feel any remorse, you don't feel any remorse, then know that your position with Allah is not good. Then know that your position with Allah Azza wa Jal is not good. So the Salaf, they consider that as a criteria. They considered the love of the Qur'an, recitation of the Qur'an, they consider that as a criteria of a person's love of Allah Azza wa Jal and Allah's love of the individual. Because there's no doubt, if you love Allah Azza wa Jal, you want to know what He says. You want to know His statements. And that's a reality that we know. That's a reality that we have lived, and that's a reality that our children are presently living. That when they love an individual, they try to read as much about that individual as possible. And it's sad to say, but many of our children, they love basketball players, and they love football players, and they collect the baseball cards, they collect the basketball cards, they want to follow the basketball games, and you know, they'll tell you so-and-so's playing next week, and he makes this much money, and he scored this much in last year. How do they know all of that information about those individuals? Because they have love of those individuals. And it's not praiseworthy. It's not praiseworthy. But the reality is, indeed, when you love Allah Azza wa Jal, and if that love is true, and if that love is sincere, then you would have a love of the book of Allah, because this is the speech of Allah. Because this is the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. With that being said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the month of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to receive a special blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is that Jibreel used to come to the Prophet to review the Qur'an from the beginning of it to the end of it in the month of Ramadan. He used to review the Qur'an with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. So that shows you the importance of the Qur'an in the month of Ramadan. Likewise, this book is something that we need to hold on to. This book is something that we need to hold on to. It is something that brings us joy. It is something that we should hold on to our molar teeth with. And the prophets of the past, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا. The Prophet said, Oh my Lord, my followers have abandoned this Quran. My followers, this is, Allah says this in the Quran. What the messenger said, my followers have abandoned this Quran. They don't take hold to it. They don't implement that which is in it. They don't follow it. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. And the reality is that is the state of affairs. That is the state of affairs for many of us, that we don't read this book. We don't reflect over this book. We don't read the book. We don't reflect over the book. We don't know the verses. We don't know the meaning. We don't know the chapters. We don't know why Allah said this, why Allah said that, why Allah revealed this, why Allah revealed that. That is the terrible state of the Muslims nowadays. It took place during the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said that the knowledge would be lifted. That the knowledge would be lifted. And a Sahabi who was present here, Ya Rasulullah, how can the knowledge be lifted when we recite the Quran? When we recite the Quran, وَلَنُقْرِئَنَّهُ نِسَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَنَا, and we will teach it to our children and we will teach it to our wives. Ya Rasulullah, how is the knowledge going to be lifted? We recite it. We will teach it to our children. We will teach it to our wives. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you not looked at the Jews and the Christians? They have their books, but they no longer refer to them. They have their books, but they no longer refer to them. That would be the state of the Muslims. The Muslims will have this book of guidance, this book of light, this book of mercy in front of them on the shelves, and it doesn't do anything because we are not into the Quran. Allah Ta'ala said, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. An admonishment has come to you from your Lord. This Quran. An admonishment has come to you from your Lord. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي صُدُورٍ. A cure for that which is in the hearts. The diseases of the hearts, the cure for it, for all of the diseases of the heart are in the Quran. Hatred, enmity, jealousy, all of those pride, all of the cures for the diseases of the heart are in the Quran. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in that same book that I mentioned this morning, The Disease and the Cure, he said the Quran is an actual cure for all forms of diseases. All forms of diseases. It is a cure for the diseases such as jealousy. Jealousy is an illness. Person with jealousy. He sees someone with something that he admires, he feels heat in his chest. That's an illness. The Quran cures that. Allah Ta'ala says, Wala. Allah Ta'ala mentioned, I can't remember the verse now, مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ لِلرِّجَالُ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءُ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَا وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا, do not desire that which Allah has preferred some over the others. Do not desire that which Allah has preferred some over the others. لِلرِّجَالِ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا, the men have that which Allah has preferred them. وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَسِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا, and the women have that which Allah has preferred them. وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, ask Allah from His bounties. Ask Allah from His bounties. So the Quran is a cure for the disease of jealousy. The Quran is a cure for the disease of hatred and enmity. Allah Ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِّنْهَا. You were on the brinks of the hellfire and Allah saved you from it. Allah Ta'ala mentioned that the believers, al-mu'minun wal-mu'minat ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd, the believers are protectors and supporters of the believers. The believers are protectors and supporters of the believers. You were on the brinks of the hellfire and Allah saved you from it. وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّكُوا, hold on to the rope of Allah, don't be divided. So the illness of hate and enmity amongst the brothers, amongst the sisters, Allah deals with that. Allah deals with that in His book. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكُونُوا عِبَادِ اللَّهِ ikhwana, and be servants of Allah, brothers. And be servants of Allah as brothers. Allah deals with that. Allah deals with pride. An individual having pride. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ لَن تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ تُولَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you do not meet the height of the mountains. You do not meet the height of the mountains. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the person in his place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the fire that we bring from the logs. Do you bring the fire or does Allah bring the fire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the water of the ocean, if we were to make it salty, what would you do? Where would you drink from? Where would your pure water come from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures the disease of hatred between individuals. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ خَوْمٌ مِّنْ قَوْمٍ. O you who believe, do not make fun of one another. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. It is possible that the one is making fun of, the one who's making fun of, the other individual is better than him. وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّنْ نِسَاءٍ. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُنَّ. And a woman should not make fun of another woman. It's possible the one who is making fun, she is less in degree. She's less in degree than the one that's making fun of her. وَلَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Allah says, don't backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلُ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Would one of you like that his brother, or would one of you like to eat raw flesh? فَكَرِحْتُمُوهُ. You hate this. So all of this has been dealt with in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, but the problem is we don't sit down and read this book of Allah. This is a heavy book right here. It is heavy. Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we were to reveal this book that we hold to be light, it's light. We hold to be light. If we were to reveal this book upon a mountain, you would have seen the mountain crumble in fear of Allah. وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَدْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And these examples and these parables, we strike it to the people so that they can reflect. This Quran, if it was revealed to a mountain, if Allah placed it on a mountain, لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. You would have seen the mountain humble. It would have crumbled out of fear of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila." We are going to reveal to you something strong, something heavy. This is this book. It's heavy. It is heavy. When it used to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas bin Malik, I can't remember at the time, is it Anas bin Malik or Zayd bin Thabit, one of them in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, "I was with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam." While he was sitting one day, and he was sitting like the brothers are sitting, you know, we say it with your legs crossed, and he said, my knee was under the knee of the Prophet. He was a young boy. He said, my knee was under the knee of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was talking, and then revelation came. And the Sahaba, they said, we used to know when revelation was coming, because the Prophet used to stop, he used to put his head down, and he used to sweat profusely. So he said, so I knew revelation was coming. But then the knee of the Prophet began to put pressure on my knee. And he's sitting right beside the Prophet, and the Prophet's knee is on his knee. He said, I wanted to jump up because it felt like bricks were upon my knee. That's how heavy the Prophet's body became, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the revelation was being revealed to him. This Quran is heavy. This Quran is serious. So, what's important for the believer, like that statement of one of the Salaf, is that if you want to know where you are with the Quran, or if one, you want to know where you are with Allah, then you look where you are with His book. Then you look where you are with His book. Before going into the tafsir and the way of the Salaf, subhanAllah, the way of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they always kept to this book. Day and night. I mentioned previously that Ibn Mas'ud said, أَدِيمُ النَّظَرَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ. Ibn Mas'ud said, you should always look into the Qur'an. You should always look into the Qur'an. Make it a part of your daily life. And especially in the month of Ramadan. The wife of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after he was killed, and we know that Uthman bin Affan was killed while he was reading the Quran. Some of us, if it's, we know individuals are after us, we know individuals are trying to kill us, that's the last thing that we would sit down and do is read the Quran. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I don't want to go too much into his story radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but real quick, you know, at the time when these individuals had lied, and these individuals had plotted to kill Uthman, the other Sahaba, such as Ali bin Abi Talib and others from amongst the Sahaba, they sent their children, because they were in Mecca, they sent their children to Al-Madinah to protect Uthman. They sent to their children to Al-Madinah to protect Uthman. So Hassan and Hussein and other children of the Sahaba, they came to Medina to protect Uthman. Uthman called them inside of their house, and he said, "What is my position with you?" They said, "We love you, we have respect for you, this, that, that, that." He said, "Break your swords." He said, "Break your swords. I will not allow for any individual to defend me." He grabbed their swords, he broke them himself. So then they left without weapons. They came outside of the house of Uthman, and they protected his house from the door. What did Uthman do? This is a time where individuals are trying to kill him, individuals are lying against him. Uthman bin Affan went inside of his house and he opened up the Quran and sat down and began to recite the Quran. How old was Uthman at that time? Was he 50, 60? Uthman was in his 90s. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was in his late 90s. The individuals came from the side of the house. They jumped the wall. They jumped the wall. And they entered upon Uthman while he was reciting the Quran. He looked up at the first individual that had a sword and he said, "If your father could see you now, I'm a 90-year-old man. I have the Quran in front of me. If your father could only see you now." That individual that was in front of him was affected by it. So he moved to the side. Another individual came and chopped Uthman right in his skull. His blood splattered on the Quran. His wife said, the wife of Uthman bin Affan said, "Qataluhu wa kana yuhyi al-layla bil Quran." She said, "They killed my husband. My husband used to stand in prayer at night reading the Quran." That was the way of the Sahaba. That was the way of these individuals. The time of tragedy, the time of you know, a major time of calamity. And Uthman, what does he do? He picks up the Quran. He picks up the Quran. So the reality is, this is something that we need to establish in our lives. And this is something that we need to establish in the lives of our children. The lives of our children, in the way of the Sahaba, they were on it. The way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were on it. Yani you had the likes of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Ibn Abbas was on it when it came to this book of Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was something that, you know, we need to implement. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw Ibn Abbas one day, he said, Oh Allah, give this individual fiqh of the tafsir of the Quran. Give this individual fiqh of the tafsir of the Quran. This is what the Sahaba wanted their children to be upon. After the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar, and after the passing away of Abu Bakr, Umar used to invite Ibn Abbas, young boy, teenager. He used to invite Ibn Abbas to the gatherings of the senior companions. He's a teenager. And he's inviting Umar. Umar ibn Khattab is old. He's the leader. Ibn Abbas was a teenager. The older senior companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to have gatherings about, you know, rulership, about things taking place in a community, things that we need to discuss, things that we need to adjust. So, Umar ibn Khattab used to invite Ibn Abbas. After some time, some of the companions who were senior, they felt a ways about this. Why do you invite this young teenager in our gatherings? This is a gathering of senior individuals. He said, "Okay, I'll show you why I invite him. Tafaddal, Ibn Abbas, come." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, "Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal fat." If the mercy of Allah, if the help of Allah comes and the conquering, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and you see the people coming in droves into the religion of Allah. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ glorify your Lord and seek His forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Verily Allah is the one to accept the repentance. Umar ibn Khattab said, Ibn Abbas, wait, stop. تَفَضَّلُوا. You've seen your companions. What is the tafsir of, what did these verses mean? What did these verses mean? They said, oh, it meant that when Allah allows the conquering of Mecca, and the people come in droves into the religion of Allah, glorify your Lord, seek His forgiveness. They said, okay, what do you think? He said the same thing. What do you think? He said the same thing. He said, Ibn Abbas, tafaddal. What does it mean? He said it meant that the Prophet's death was coming. He said it meant that the Prophet's death was coming. And they said, and Umar said, yes, I heard this from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. See, the reason why I invite him is because he understands the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. So when Ibn Abbas heard those verses, he realized the death of the Prophet was coming soon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had understanding of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is that which they were upon. And this is that which we need our children to be upon. So, with saying that, we're going to mention some of the tafsir of that which was read to us last night. And I would like to say, let everyone grab a English Quran if they can't read Arabic and follow me. But unfortunately, the masjid doesn't have enough English Qurans. And this is something that I encourage the brothers to provide in the future. Try to provide the masjid with enough English Qurans. There's Arabic there, alhamdulillah, but for those that don't speak Arabic, try to provide the masjid with enough English Qurans so that if this type of situation takes place, then people can open up the book and follow. When the people don't follow you, when the people don't obey you, when the people don't listen to you, you become frustrated. So you stop calling. Nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. The reality is, it's not for you to focus on that. It's not for you to focus on that. You get reward from Allah Azza wa Jal just for calling. Allah didn't say you get reward. You only get reward for calling when a certain amount of people obey you. Allah never said that. Allah never said that. Allah said call. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. And the only thing that's upon you is to give the clear message. Does that affect the fact that, you know, a prophet and a messenger, did that make him anything less than a prophet or a messenger if no one followed him? No. He's still a prophet and a messenger. He still enters Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رَأَيْتُ نَبِيًّا وَمَعْهُ رَحْتْ وَرَأَيْتُ نَبِيًّا وَمَعْهُ نَفَرٌ أَوْ نَفَرَيْنَ وَرَأَيْتُ نَبِيًّا لَيْسَ مَعْهُ أَحَدٌ. He said, I saw prophets, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can read that in Kitab al-Tawheed, you find the hadith. He said, I saw prophets, and they had a group of people with them. I saw other prophets, they had one or two people with them, and I saw other prophets, they had no one with them. He's still a prophet and a messenger. His reward is still great with Allah Azza wa Jal. And similar to us, our reward is still great. Don't focus on how many people follow you. Focus on fulfilling the orders of your Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala. إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ اُذْكُرْ نِعْمَتِي عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى وَالِدَتِكَ إِذْ أَيَّدْتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا وَإِذْ عَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. Then Allah Tabarak Ta'ala goes on, and you can read, I'm not going to read all of the verses, but on the rest of this page, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala informs you of the conversation that Allah Azza wa Jal will have with Isa. And the reason why this is mentioned is because Isa is a prophet that a calamity took place like no other prophet, and that is that they worshipped him. The Jews, they said, Uzair ibn Allah. Uzair is the son of Allah. So you had people that said, so-and-so is the son of Allah, and so-and-so is the son of Allah. But for people to say that a prophet is Allah himself, this took place with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is important for us to read and understand, and our children to understand, because this is where
our da'wah comes in with the Christians. This is where our da'wah comes in with the Christians. We should know. We should know what Isa went through. We should know what Isa called to. We should know the reality of the affair of Isa. Unfortunately, there are some that when we give da'wah, and we're ignorant, we don't know, when we give da'wah to Christians, and we're talking to them, and some of the young guys, they're in school, they're in high school, they're in junior high school, their teachers approach them, other students approach them, and they say to them, you guys don't believe in Jesus, you guys obey Muhammad, and we immediately go to defending Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is excellent. We defend the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We defend him. He's the last messenger, he's the last prophet, he's the seal of the prophet. But unfortunately, we don't clarify to them that we do believe in Jesus. We do believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We believe in him. He's a prophet of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal has ayats in his book about Isa. The rest of this page is about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The following page is about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a surah in the Quran, Surah Maryam. There's a chapter in the Quran, the chapter of Mary. That's in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Many of the Christians, all of the Christians, most of the Christians, they don't know that. But it's sad because some Muslims don't realize that. So we immediately begin to start defending Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we forget to explain to them that no, Isa alayhi wasallam has a position in Islam. Isa is mentioned in many verses of the Quran. Isa is mentioned in the statements of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is something which is important. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, remember the favor that I bestowed upon you and your mother. Remember the favor that I bestowed upon you and your mother. I protected you from these people when they wanted to kill you. When they wanted to kill you, I protected you. I gave you the Hawariyun, the companions, they say the disciples. We also believe in them. It's in the Quran. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam having companions, having disciples, individuals who believed in him, followed him. It took place. So we believe in that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to mention the other blessings that he bestowed upon Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's important that our children know this. They are approached by Christians and they say, you know, Jesus used to give life to the deaf. Jesus used to cure the people. Our children, it's possible that our children, because they don't know, they said, no, that's not true. They deny that which is true in the Quran. It's in the Quran. The Quran affirms it. So our children deny something out of ignorance. No, that's not true. He was only a prophet. He didn't have the ability to bring life after death. He didn't have the ability to cure the blind. No, that's not true. Our children deny something out of ignorance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you cured the blind with my permission, that's what we need to explain to them. Yes, Jesus did so. Isa did so, but he did so with the permission of Allah. When you cured the individual who had leprosy with my permission, so Allah mentions these blessings, and Isa confirms them. He confirms them. Then, toward the end of the page, the Hawariyun, they said, إِذْ قَالَ الْحَوَارِيُّونَ يَا عِيسَ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ هَلْ يَسْتَطِيعُ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The Hawariyun, the disciples, they said, O Isa, can your Lord send down a table? And in the Bible, they call that the Last Supper. Yeah, it's in the Quran. The Last Supper. It's in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, can your Lord send down a table so that we can eat from it? And so that we know that you have been truthful. So that we know that you have been truthful. Not to say that they were doubting. Not to say that they were doubting. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his Lord, Arini kayfa tuhyi al-mawta. Ibrahim said, O Allah, show me how you bring life after death. قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ Allah SWT says, do you not believe? He said, بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَتْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي He said, yes, I believe, but I would like to give comfort and tranquility to my heart. Surah Hawariyun, they requested from Allah Azza wa Jalla to send down a ma'idah, to send down a table, so that they can eat from it.
قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَتْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ
We want to eat from it. We want tranquility in our hearts. We want to know. We just want that confirmation that you have been truthful with us, and we will be witnesses over this.
قَالَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ اللهم ربنا أنزل علينا مائدة من السماء تكون لنا عيدا لأولنا وآخرنا وآية منك وارزقنا وأنت خير الرازقين
عيسى said, O Allah, اللهم ربنا He said, O my Lord And اللهم is like saying, Ya Allah So he's calling on Allah in a manner which promotes and which allows the acceptance of the dua. When you call on Allah, this is something that was done by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was done by the prophets who came before. When they used to call on Allah, they wouldn't just say, Allah give me this, Allah give me that, Allah give me this, Allah give me that. But they would use His names and attributes. Allahumma, O my Lord, Rabbana, give us this ma'idah. Send down this table. It can be like a celebration for us. For the first of us and the last of us. And it would be as a verse from you. A sign from you. Provide for us. Verily, you are the one who provides. Verily, he said, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ You are the best of providers. And the way of the believers. So notice how Isa began his dua. And notice how he ended his dua. By praising Allah. And that is how you encourage... And you, the calling, when you call on Allah Azza wa Jal, you glorify Allah. You praise Allah. Allah loves that. Allah loves the glorification. He loves the praise. Whereas us as humans, we should not love the glorification. We should not love the praise. We should abstain from that. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you praise your brother in front of his face, is as if you have broken his neck. We should not love glorification and praise. Because that leads us astray. Abu Bakr alayhi salatu radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he heard glorification and praise, he said quietly to himself, Allahumma la tu'akhidni bima yaqulun. Oh Allah, don't hold me accountable for that which they are praising me for. Waj'alni ahsan mimma yadhunnun. And make me better than that which they think of me. So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to abstain from praise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like the praise. And I should have mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before I mentioned Abu Bakr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like the praise. The Sahaba, they used to walk behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect him. This is how they glorify the Prophet. And we should glorify the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, walk in front of me. The angels, they protect me from behind. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to dislike it. The individuals used to come. From outside Mecca. They used to enter Mecca. They used to see the people sitting. Who is Muhammad? They couldn't distinguish him, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was not distinguished from the others. He did not wear a special type of clothing. He did not elevate himself in gatherings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very humble. The companions were more richer than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The companions had better clothing than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the way of the believer is that you don't want the praise, you don't want the glorification, but in supplicating to Allah, Allah loves it. And that's why we say alhamdulillah, all praise for Allah. Allah loves it. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he's saying, Allahumma Rabbana, O Allah, my Lord, or O Allah, our Lord. And then he asks Allah to send down a table. We can celebrate. It is an ayat from you. It is a sign from you. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ And you are the best of providers. This is how we supplicate to our Lord. When we supplicate to our Lord, we call on Him, and then at the end we say, oh, مثلاً, if we supplicate for wealth, we say, oh Allah, only you can provide this. If no one provides it, you can provide it. If we ask Allah for protection, we say, oh Allah, only you can protect me. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ It is you who we, yarhamakallah. It is you who we worship, and it is you who we seek your help. اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ Guide us to the straight path. So the way of the belief is that when we supplicate to Allah, like Isa is doing, alayhi salatu wasalam, we glorify Allah in the beginning, and at the end we show sincerity to Allah that no one can bring this about except Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said to Ibn Abbas, إِذَا سَعَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعَنْ بِاللَّهِ If you ask, ask from Allah. If you seek assistance, seek assistance from Allah. وَعْلَمْ لَوْ أَنَّ النَّاسِ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ لَنْ يَدُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ And know with certainty that if all of the people came together to harm you, they would not be able to harm you except that Allah wrote it for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَى أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ If they gathered to benefit you, they would not be able to benefit you except that Allah wrote it for you. It is all with Allah Azza wa Jal. So in your supplication, you should present that. You should present that. Like Isa is doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. قال الله إني منزلها عليكم فمن يكفر بعد منكم فإني أعذبه عذابا لا أعذبه أحدا من العالمين Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm going to send it. I'm going to send that ma'idah. I'm going to send that table. And whoever disbelieves after this, I'm going to punish him like I will not punish anyone else from the creation. I'm going to punish him like I have not punished anyone else from the creation. The reality is when guidance comes to you and you have accepted that guidance and believed in that guidance and then turn your back on that guidance, your punishment is greater than anyone else's punishment. Your punishment is greater than anyone else's punishment. When an individual enters into Islam, and that individual reads the Quran, knows the Sunnah, reads the Hadith, comes to the gatherings, this, that, and then that individual goes in a different direction, and goes far in that direction, and dies upon that, his punishment is greater than the individual that never came into Islam in the first place. Because he turned away after guidance came to him. With saying that, ya ikhwan, my brothers and sisters, understand something. We're already in Islam. If you choose to turn back, then your punishment is severe, more severe than the person that never was guided to Islam. So there's no turning back. There's no turning back. The scholars have proven with a hadith, and there's a narration, I can't remember the narration right now, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that Islamu yajubu ma qabla. That Islam removes that which came before it. Islam removes that which came before it. And there's an extra narration, and I can't remember the particular specific wording of it now, but I remember when I read it some time ago. There's an extra narration that says, as long as you do good. As long as you do good. The scholars have derived from that, that Islam removes that which came before it of sin. But if the person comes into Islam, and then continues, or after some time goes back to those sins, that Allah once again brings upon him the sins that he committed previously. because he has not done good. And none of us can afford that. We know what we did before Islam. We know that what we were upon before Islam. And now we come to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. That which is upon us is to have istiqama. الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who say, my Lord is Allah, and they are upright. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels descend upon them. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't, there's no fear. Don't be afraid. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ. Glad tidings of paradise. الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوْعَدُونَ. That which Allah has promised you. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We are your protectors in this life and in the next. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we are your protectors in this life and the next. You will have in paradise that which you were promised, you will have in paradise that which you would seek, it is from your Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in that verse, Allah says, those who say, my Lord is Allah, and they are upright, this is their reward. But those who say, my Lord is Allah, but they're not upright, their reward is not the same. So this is something important. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, I'm going to send down this table. And for them it was a table that Allah sent down to confirm, to be a support. Allah has sent us greater than a table. Allah has sent us a Quran. The table, they would only eat from it. It was sent from Allah Azza wa Jal. They would eat from it. The food is done, they walk away. It's over. We have this Quran with us until Yawm al-Qiyamah. You don't get guidance from the table in your life, the ins and outs, strengthening of the iman. You don't get guidance from a table, but you get it from the Quran. What I mean to say is Allah has sent us greater than the table. And Allah said to them, whoever disbelieves after this table has been sent down, I'm going to punish him like I've punished no other. So if Allah Azza wa Jal said that about a table, then what would be Allah's punishment if we turn away from this book? Allah said, I'm going to punish whoever disbelieves after this table, I'm going to punish them in a manner that I've never punished anyone else. Then what would be the punishment of Allah if we turn away from the Quran? This is that which we need to reflect over. Then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّي إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will say to Isa, because this is something serious. The people are gathered in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the day that the truth is going to become apparent. This is the day that nothing would be hidden. Nothing is hidden from Allah Azza wa Jal on this day. وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of good, he's going to see it. Whoever does an atom's weight of evil, he's going to see it. Everything you do. وَكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُحْتَضَرٍ. Everything that you do is going to be presented. So the nations are present. The people are present. Thousands and thousands and thousands from the time of Adam until the last day. Everyone is present. Allah Azza wa Jal said, Isa, did you tell the people to take you and your mother as gods other than me? Did you tell the people that? They are the people. He's the one you're following. Isa's the one you're following. Isa, did you tell him to do that? Qala subhanak. Isa said, glory be to you, O Allah. He said, glory be to you. It is not for me to say that to them. I did only said that which you ordered me to. I only said that which you ordered me to. إِن كُنْتُ قُلْتُهُ فَكَدْ عَلِمْتُ. If I said it to them, you would have known. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. You know what is in me and I don't know what's in. Isa is totally freeing himself. Now imagine what they're going to be upon. Imagine what they're going to be upon of sadness, fear. They're looking for Isa to save them. Isa is freeing himself. Subhanallah, glory be to you. If I would have said it, you would have known. You know what's in me. I don't know what's in you. I only told them to worship you. Once you brought death to me, you were responsible for them. I'm free from those people. إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأُوا الْعَذَابُ وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ. When the people who are being followed free themselves from the followers, and every excuse is cut, and they see the punishment. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً فَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُوا مِنَّا. And the people who were following, excuses, everything's cut, no excuse. Brothers, you have no excuse. Sisters, you have no excuse. You won't be able to blame your sins, your weakness on anyone. Everyone is for himself. So, the people who are being followed would say, or the people who are followers, the people who are followers would say, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا كَرَّ. We wish we can go back and remove ourselves from them like they've removed themselves from us this day. We wish we can go back. And there was a verse in, actually there was a verse in Surah Ma'idah. It's going to come, Afwan. It's in Surah Al-An'am. It's going to come. If I can find it now. Naam, in Surah An'am, and the brother in the Salat, he read it last night. It came later on, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people of the Kufar, of the people of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا نُرَدُّ وَلَا نُكَذِّبَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّنَا وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, they see the punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to see, and this is going to come in Surah An'am, which he read last night, later on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you were to see when they are standing in front of the fire and they said, Ya laytana nuraddu wa la nukadhdhibu bi'ayati rabbina. We wish that we can go back so that we would not deny the ayats of our Lord. And we wish that we can be believers. Now is time you wish you can be a believer. You wish you were upright now. Isa frees himself from you. That's for the Christians. Those who you disobey in sin, those who you follow upon sin, disobey Allah and the likes of that, they free themselves from you. The sisters that lead you astray and call you to disobedience, they free themselves from you. The brothers that lead you to disobedience, they free themselves. Everyone's going to free themselves from the other individual. I can't help you out today. I can't help you. Even the prophets will free themselves. The Shafa'atul Kubra, the major Shafa'a for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the people on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the disbelievers and the believers, because they're standing for hours, they're standing for years. The sweat is up to their ankles, the sweat is up to their knees, the sweat is up to their waist, the sweat is up to their neck. Some of them will be drowning in sweat. The kuffar and the believers, they go up to the prophets. They go up to Adam. Adam, can you speak to Allah as well, to, you know, bring down the ruling? Where are we going? Where are we going? Can Allah as well start the reckoning? And subhanAllah, some people go into hell, some people go into paradise, and they want the reckoning to start because Yawm al-Qiyamah itself is punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَةُ الْقُبَرَى As-sakha. Major, the big bang. The rude awakening. So on this day, the people are going to feel that this itself is punishment. The disbelievers and the believers go to the prophets. Prophet Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, can you speak to your Lord to start it? Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, I can't. I disobeyed Allah in Jannah. I can't. Can't help you. They go to so-and-so. They go to so-and-so. They go to Musa. They go to so-and-so. All of the prophets say, we can't do anything. Then they go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Disbelievers and believers. Sahih al-Bukhari. They go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, please, can you request from Allah azza wa jal to start the reckoning? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approaches his Lord and bows in prostration. Calls on Allah in a manner he never called on Allah. Calls on Allah in a manner that he never called on Allah. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is interceding for the believers and the disbelievers so that Allah starts the reckoning. Then Allah ta'ala says, Ya Muhammad, irfa ra'sak, was'al tu'ata. Allah ta'ala says, Muhammad, raise your head. Ask me and I will give you that which you ask. This is what it's about. So the people are going to free themselves. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he frees himself from the people. Then he says, إِن تُعَذِّبْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. If you punish them, they're your servants. وَإِن تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And if you forgive them, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala says that Isa said, if you punish them, then they are your servants. And if you forgive them, then you are the mighty, the most wise. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla will say, this is the day that the truthful people will benefit from their truthfulness. They will have paradise underneath which rivers flow. They will dwell in it forever. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. This is the great victory. For Allah is the dominion of the heavens and the earth and that which is between it. And He is able to do all things. I'll stop now. We'll continue later. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka an nabiyyi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslim kathira.